Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
God is good.
And all the
time. We have much to celebrate in the goodness of our Lord. We greet you in His name this morning. And if you are a visitor with us, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You can find those on the back of the pew that's right in front of you. And just place that in the offering plate this morning so that we can get to know you better. I want to begin our service with celebration as we think back to this past Friday night. Some of us perhaps still smell like fish and oil, but we had just a wonderful time at the fish fry, which may perhaps be our first annual fish fry. We'll have to see. But I was telling Ethan earlier, as I was just commending him on his hard work and the rest of the deacons and many people who just stepped forward from nowhere and just showed up to help or bring food and supplies, but I have never seen this church laugh that much and celebrate that much. So God indeed is truly good. This week we have a number of opportunities for you, and Dave is going to come and share some of those later, but we encourage you to read the salmon sheet each week to see what's going on, and you may also want to notice that our praise and prayer time has changed to 11 o'clock, so we want to make sure we don't hold anybody up for lunch. But if you are interested in that and maybe the time has not fit your schedule, just be aware that that time has moved back 30 minutes to 11 o'clock. You have seen around our church and have read in our newsletter about the upcoming Cooperative Baptist Fellowship meeting that's coming right here to North Carolina. There is a lot of need around that and a lot to be thankful for. And Erling Mann is going to come now and share a little bit about how you possibly could be involved.
The dates for the assembly is June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We're really excited about having the assembly in Greensboro this time. It was here 3 years ago, but they have it in places like Dallas and Florida and very far away. So we're just fortunate to have them so close by where you can attend and where you can volunteer. It's a wonderful opportunity to go and worship with a lot of other Christians, to hear great speakers, to meet missionaries that are working with the CBF, and to fellowship. It's free, except for the meals. They are not free. You just need to register, and you can go online and do that, or you can register on site. Christians come from all over the world to this General Assembly. I heard around 2,500 people is what they were expecting. So we want to make sure that everything goes smoothly, that it's an enjoyable and a meaningful experience for all of those who are attending. And so to accomplish that, the CBF and the local arrangements team need you to volunteer. With only a couple of weeks left, we still have positions open in hospitality, registration, and in ushering. In the hospitality, it's simply giving people directions on where the meetings are, where to go to eat, just very simple things to make a person feel at home and at ease with being in a new place. In the registration, it's some computer work, but it's also putting together packets for the attendees. And in the ushering, our ushers here, you know all about that. We need ushers for the general sessions, which take place in the mornings, and the worship services then that are held at night. We will have some training on Sunday afternoon before the assembly begins. If you're able to attend that. If not, I can work with you individually on that. You just need to go online and register at cbf.net/assembly. Or you can just tell me and I will help you with that. Several of us from this church volunteered 3 years ago, and we all found it to be a really enjoyable experience, and we think you will too. So please see me if I can help you get registered. If not, please go home and register. Time is running out. Thank you.
Our opening scripture is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Let us pray together. Father God, we have heard your call. You called us this day to gather in your house to worship and celebrate you. Father, how many times have we heard your calls through the days, the weeks, the months, and the years? And we hear and we listen and we follow. May we be cleansed and purified like that burning coal. And may we be called out not just to come to this place, but to go out into the world. We gather in this place to celebrate who you are. We gather in this place to celebrate your call. Father God, we are thankful. We are listening and we are answering. Here am I, send me. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would, stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 54, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Please stand. Mason mentioned the wonderful time of fellowship that took place Friday night at our fish fry, and that fellowship continues this afternoon and this evening. I want to encourage you to come out this afternoon at 4 o'clock is when the official weigh-in will take place for our annual R.A. Pinewood Derby. Our children have been working hard on these cars. They are designed, handcrafted, and they are fast, we hope. So I want you to come out today. At 4 o'clock for the weigh-in, 4:30 the race. Following our race, we will have a wonderful time of fellowship around the table with pizza and ice cream. It should be a wonderful time of food. Also tonight, we will draw the ticket for the winning raffle ticket for the mattress set that the youth have been auctioning off for our summer retreat ministry experience this summer. This morning is the last time you have a chance to purchase those tickets, so you can see me in the vestibule following the worship service. This week, looking ahead, you notice in your bulletin there's a blue flyer. The youth are doing a fundraiser at Blue Ribbon on Monday. Go out and enjoy lunch or dinner at Blue Ribbon and take this with you, and that'll help support the mission experience coming up, along with our rescheduled car wash will be taking place this Saturday from 1 to 4 at American National Bank. Now, Mason also mentioned, I encourage you to come out on Thursday for a prayer and praise time. It begins at 11 o'clock. It's a slight change in the bulletin. It's a slight change in the schedule, so please come out at 11 for prayer and praise. There's many other ministry opportunities coming up in the coming weeks. Please notice those in your salmon-colored sheet this morning. Now, at this time, we want to turn it over to our children's leaders as they get a chance to recognize the ministries that have taken place throughout this year. Let me recognize Kim Smith to come begin that time.
So our kids have had a very busy year this year. We have a wonderful Sunday evening program, so if you guys don't already come out to it, send everybody that you know, because we have a really great program. So on Sundays at 5:30, we have a creative ministry time where the kids can do puppets, art, drama. We've done a little bit of everything, because not everybody has the same interests. So we do a little bit of music, a little bit of all of it, and we're hoping to do some of those same things next year. Amy, Sally, and Sandy have also been very helpful. We would not have been able to have the program we have without them. And Alec needs to be up here, too. So come on, Alec. So I don't want to be up here by myself. So after they do their creative ministry, we also have RAs and mission friends where they learn about missionaries around the world. And we also do mission projects. So come on. Come on. I am not a public speaker, by the way. That is all Mason. I can't stand being in front of people, if you can't tell. Not as much as I dislike it, so. All right, so we're going to recognize the mission friends and the RAs, and then Alec is going to tell a little bit about the RA program. And I think only one of my mission friends is actually here, but I'm going to call their names out anyway. So Emily Franks, Ellie Hubman, Noah Licklider, and Langston Lindsay, who is snoozing, so I will take it to him on the way down. So he looks very comfy.
Our Royal Ambassador mission studies have literally taken us from Boston to Bulgaria this year. We haven't stopped there. There are a lot of places in between and beyond those localities that we have studied about. Our Royal Ambassador mission projects for this year include the Ugly Tie Contest for funds to raise funds for Carson and Laura Fushi's ministry in Japan, Operation Christmas Child, our Super Bowl canned food drive for the Allied Church's soup kitchen, And one that we'll be finishing up tonight is the Victory Junction Gang Camp Supply Drive. We will have the bin trackside at the race tonight if you want to donate any items for the Victory Junction Gang Camp for their summer programs. I want to mention the names of the RAs. And by the way, if you're not sure what we need for the Victory Junction Gang Camp, it's on the back side of your prayer sheet. So please consider that. As I call our boys and girls up, if they would please come up here, Stephen will hand you your certificate. Wes Carroll. And you stay up here if you would, please. Mackenzie Davis is not with us, but she's been active in RAs. Luke Durham. And our senior Y ambassador this year, Samuel Durham. We're going to miss Samuel next year quite a bit. Rachel Franks, Jaden Hubman, Sonny Licklider, and Wesley Smith. We have a good group. We've had a lot of fun this year, and we've enjoyed learning about mission studies, which, by the way, if we're in the United States, what do we call it?
Domestic
missions, thank you. And if it's outside the United States?
Foreign
missions, very good. All right, thank you. Good job, guys and girls.
Every day at K-Quest PBS starts at Sing and Play Rock. Everyone was there, preschoolers and elementary kids. The music was awesome.
Jesus will guide us through every dark time. Follow his lead and light up the world. Everywhere I go, your love surrounds me. Everywhere I turn, your grace reminds me. Nothing in the world can separate us now.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
We also saw a skit about an explorer named Clark Cavern. He's pretty funny and pretty confused. But the sing and play leader told him the Bible point, and I think that helped.
Our cave crew looked at the schedule to see which station we go to first. Looks like it's Deep Bible Quest for us.
Yes!
These Deep Bible Quests are really cool because we hardly ever just sit there. And the leader makes you think about Bible stories in a different way. On day one, we learned how God promised to send Jesus, the light of the world. People had to wait a while, but at least they had the hope that he'd come.
Jesus gives us hope.
And every time we heard the Bible point, we said,
follow him!
That reminded us to follow Jesus, the light of the world.
The waves were rocking the boat.
On day two, we acted out what it might have been like for Peter to step out of a boat and bravely follow Jesus on a stormy sea. Boy, that took courage.
Jesus gives us courage.
Day three was when we discovered some awesome stuff that Jesus told people. Jesus wanted people to know the right way to live. We learned how to pray and how to treat others too.
Jesus gives us direction.
Follow him!
On day four, we explored what it meant when Jesus died. The light of the world died for us, to take away the wrong things we do. Wow! But then he came back to life. Jesus loves us so much.
Jesus gives us love.
Follow him!
Just as we were getting ready to leave VBS, we got a powerful gift. Before Jesus left for heaven, he gave his awesome power to his followers. We can have power from Jesus too.
Jesus gives us his power.
Follow him!
Wow! Imagination Station is the best thing ever. Here we got to experiment with sciencey fun gizmos. These things surprised, created, oozed, flew, and lit up.
The Imagination Station is just crazy fun.
They've come up with so many cool experiments.
Yesterday we got to make our own cave snot. It's sticky.
We loved experimenting with them. I can't wait to go home and show my friends. Every experiment connected to the Bible point.
Follow him.
So when I take home my sciencey fun gizmos, I can even tell my family what we learned. During Imagination Station, we also learned about Operation Kid to Kid. Did you know that some kids in North America don't have a safe place to live or play? Their houses are broken down. But when we all bring in money, we can raise enough to fix those houses. Volunteers are doing the work. They just need the supplies to make it happen. My $5 will help give a kid a good, safe place to live and play. When we put all that money together, we donated enough money to fix a whole house.
It wouldn't be VBS without snacks. I love Cabin Cafe.
We have tortillas and coleslaw, and what we're going to do is make a cross and then wrap it up, and when we wrap it up, that means that Jesus loves us.
We got to eat maize mix, waffle and good treats, fruit compasses, veggie hugs, and peachy power-ups. Even preschoolers got to make the snack. I can't believe they actually did it. I mean, that's a lot of snacks.
When it was time for games, we always knew it'd be cool. But who knew you could actually learn something while having that much fun? These were totally different games, but a lot of fun. Plus, every day, one group that came to games got to get their pictures taken for Spotlight VBS. We got into goofy poses that didn't really make a ton of sense at the time, but the photographer put it all together into this cool slideshow that we all got to see at the end of the day. It was always a fun way to hear the Bible story again, and we were the stars!
Okay, you haven't even heard about the coolest part of VBS, KidVid Cinema. Every day, we watched a video about a real kid whose experience or shining Jesus' light. These were real kids, just like me, and God's power made a difference in their life.
I think storms are the things I'm most afraid of. When I first hear the thunderstorm, I start to get a little shaky. Reading that Bible verse over and over again really helps me get past it, and praying about it helps me get past it.
In Kenya, you have to pay to go to school. There is no public school. So we decided, with the help of my parents, we did backpacks, school supplies, and we were able to make 200 backpacks of school supplies, and it was all brand new.
Even though Noah and McKenna have a lot of fun together, there are times when they just don't get along. Last year, Noah got a special Bible for his birthday. It has helped show him Jesus' awesome love. That example has brought Noah and McKenna closer together.
Her name was Emily. She cut her hair to give to a wig company who makes wigs for kids that have cancer.
They had hope in God, they trusted in God, and they had courage in Him.
Each video was a little different. I couldn't wait to see who we'd meet every day. After the video, we opened the Bible to check out a verse that could help us when we were facing a challenge. And we even got a Bible memory buddy every day. Each buddy has a verse on it, the same one we just read from the Bible. I'll be wearing these fun friends way after VBS. But what I love the best is how the buddies came to life on a smartphone or a tablet.
You know how some people say you save the best for last? Well, that's what happened at Cave Quest. Every day, we all got together for a Cave Quest closing.
We sang, then there was always something new and surprising. Like a science experiment, or a skit, or a surprise. We also got to see the Spotlight VBS show. Those were pretty funny.
And just before we went home, we got a really cool Bible Quest map. It's a surprise, so don't open it till you get home. It even had ways we could check out more about what the Bible said about today's story.
So there you go. That's what happens every day at Cave Quest VBS. Gear up for an awesome week.
Does that look like fun? Of course, as you can see from our theme for VBS this year, it's Cave Quest, and we're going to be doing lots of fun activities. It is July 11th through the 15th. We're only doing it 4 days, Monday through Thursday. It is from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to have a snack supper from 5:30 to 6. It is for preschoolers through fifth graders. And I want to say thank you to everyone that's already signed up to help. But we are also in need of a couple more positions. So if you're available and would like to help, if you could see me sometime after the service, or my contact information has been in the newsletter, or contact the church office. We're also starting VBS registration. If you saw, there's a cave out in right outside. There's registration forms. They're also available online, so make sure you register your children, grandchildren, tell your neighbors, your friends, coworkers, kids. We'd love to have everybody that we can. Thanks.
Now, in preparation for our offering, please stand and sing "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing each of us here today and for both the sunshine and the rain. Bless the giver and each gift. Let them be used to glorify you. And let us always be witnesses for you in all that we say and do. Amen.
in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future and a hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the people where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to this place from which I sent you into exile. Would you pray with me? Lord, we confess that often we have a great difficulty believing your promises. Sometimes it is hard for us to see the plans you have for us, and we want to know those plans, by the way. We want to know every detail. We want to know every little fact, every little twist and turn in the plot of our lives. But rarely do you tell us, and we waver, and we doubt, and we question. We pray, Lord, that you would heal our hearts and give us faith. Strengthen our minds and our resolve to follow you and to just trust. To trust you. Whether it be in making plans for our own lives or making plans for the future of this church, help us to trust that you will take us and you will lead us and you will bring us into a good place. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. When I was a kid, I guess we were about 4 or 5 years old, someone asked my older brother, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And without missing a beat, he looked them in the eye and said, "I want to be a mad scientist." Now, I'm not sure if he meant scientist, but I think he really knew what he was talking about. He wanted to be a mad scientist. He wanted to be a crazy Dr. Strange or something, working on experiments in a laboratory with some guy named Igor at his side. But don't worry, he grew out of it, because the next year someone asked him, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he said, "A frog." You know, when I think back to my childhood, I'm not sure I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I think that there are a lot of us adult kids that even in our 40s and 50s and 60s, we're still asking ourselves, what do we want to be when we grow up? What is my purpose, Lord? What is my calling, Lord? And maybe at night when no one else can hear us and we're laying there in our bed, drifting into the darkness of sleep, we pray a little prayer where we say, "Lord, we hear you when you say that you know the plans you have for us. We hear you when you say you have a future for us, that our lives will have some calling, purpose, meaning. We believe you, Lord, but we just can't believe it. We know it's true, but we just don't know how it is true. Who am I going to be, Lord, when I grow up? What am I going to do with myself?" And I think that even though we are in adulthood, the question still becomes one that hurts a little bit. Because as we said in the pastoral prayer, we are detail people. And we want to know the facts and the figures and the twists and turns of the purpose of our life. Are we in the right career? Maybe we've got that sorted out, but are we in the right location? Are we in the right branch? Are we doing what we really are called to do in the church? Are we serving the way we should be serving, in the place where we should be serving? We say, "Lord, I just don't know." I like Isaiah's calling story. See, this is a kind of calling story I can get behind because it's clear cut. It's very straightforward. Isaiah walks into the temple and he has this epiphany, this moment with God, where God speaks and Isaiah knows the voice. And God says, "Who will go for me? Who am I going to send?" And Isaiah doesn't have to think about it. He doesn't have to say, "I'll pray about it, Lord." He just says, "Here am I. Send me." And the very next line, God says, "Go. Here am I. Send me. Go. Do it." To quote the comedian, "Get her done. Just go." When I was 15 years old, I'd only been a disciple for a few months. And I was sitting on the third row, the left-hand side of the pews of the First Baptist Church of Whiteville, and the Reverend Dr. Ray Lundy was preaching revival. When's the last time you went to a revival? He was preaching a revival, and his message led to him calling. He calls himself to this day my father in the ministry, and he calls me his son in the ministry, because his message was, "Is God calling you?" And I knew he was. I knew it in my mind. I knew it in my heart. I knew it in my gut. I knew it in that corner of the soul that you can't quite put a name to, where there are groans too deep for words that speak, and you just know something. Didn't have to think about it, didn't have to pray about it, just knew it. I like that. That is the first time in my life, and the last time in my life it's ever been that easy, to just know something. But most of our stories are not like Isaiah's, are they? Most of us do not experience God's voice so loud and clear and obvious with the smoke and the pillars and the six-winged creatures. No, for most of us, it's not so basic as, "Who will I send?" And we just raise our hand and volunteer because we know. Most of our stories are messy. They're full of wrong turns and and bad decisions and poor judgment and missed opportunities and that feeling like we've really missed our chance. For most of us, our calling is less like the prophet Isaiah, less like that, and a whole lot more like Joseph's story. Think about the calling on Joseph's life. You read about Joseph in the book of Genesis. There's chapter after chapter of this epic cycle and saga of this guy, Joseph, whose story begins pretty simple. He has a dream. He has a vision in the night. And in his dream, he realizes God wants him to be a great man, someone of significance, someone who's going to impact the world. He also sees glimpses of this reality that somehow he's going to save his people. But it gives him a big head. He's filled with pride, arrogance. He starts to boast about it. He basically just does some stupid stuff. Have you ever been there where you just mess it up? Where God was presenting to you an opportunity and you just messed it all up. We know the story of Joseph. This leads to his brothers getting angry. They get jealous. They conspire against him. They grab him and they throw him in a pit and they sell him into slavery. This whole experience humbled Joseph. I think that if you threw me in a pit and sold me into slavery, it would humble me too. It makes you think about your choices in life and those missed opportunities. And what do you say to yourself in the pit? Maybe you're in the pit this morning. Maybe you realize you've made some bad choices. You had an opportunity and you didn't take it. What do you say to yourself in the pit? If I ever get another shot. Have you ever said that? If I just get one more chance, I'm not going to mess it up this time. And Joseph didn't. He works his way from the pit into Potiphar's household, where he's given all kinds of respect and responsibility. And see, this time, Joseph didn't mess it up. Someone else messed it up for him. Potiphar's wife, in a classic case of workplace harassment, comes on to this young man, and he'll have nothing to do with it. He's a man who's been humbled. He's found his integrity. He's found the depth and measure of who he is as a person, and he runs out of the house naked. You remember that story? That always stuck with me as a kid. Huh. But it doesn't matter. She concocts a lie. She accuses him, and he finds himself again in chains and in prison. Sometimes there will be those moments where it's not we who messed it up, but somebody ruined it for us. And in the workplace, and in our career, in our path, it only takes that one professor, that one boss, that one coworker, that one neighbor to really make life difficult. But what I love about Joseph's calling story is he even begins to grow beyond that. And you know how the story ends. It ends with Joseph second in command over all of Egypt. And indeed, his family does come to him, hungry, starving, vulnerable, and he saves his people. He still fulfilled that calling. I think that for most of us, it's going to be more like that. It's going to be a series of wrong turns and moments where we've been done wrong too. It's going to be moments where we find ourselves in pits and in pit stops and in pitfalls. But Joseph did this thing well. He remained faithful to God. He kept his eyes open for opportunity. He paid attention to what God was doing around him in his life. He listened and he was obedient and he was a person of integrity. And in the end, God still got him where God wanted him to be. That's, I think, the messy kind of calling we will experience more often. I love our passage of scripture here from Colossians. In this Colossians passage, chapter 3, verses 12, beginning there, it says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. It's just a way of living. If you just took that one verse and tried to live that, you would live well. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against the other, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. Imagine if no matter what was going on in your life, you were able to be at peace and to be thankful. And then this verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Be a good person and a faithful person. And then the climax to this passage, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's Joseph's calling. It's also Isaiah's calling. One had a very clear-cut and dry experience. The other was complicated and took a long time to get there. But the one thing they both did well was that in every word or deed, whether in word or deed, they did everything in the name of the Lord. They were faithful. Many years ago, I heard Jerry Clower, and it's no secret I like Jerry Clower, but he was talking to a group of seminary students, and one of the students asked him, Mr. Clower, how do you know what's right and wrong in your life? How do you know if you're on the right track, if you're on the right path? How do you know if you're doing what you're supposed to do with yourself? And Jerry Clower said two ways. One, think about when you come downstairs and you ask your wife, honey, is this shirt dirty? The only reason why you're asking is because you know it is. You just need someone else to tell you. And so Jerry Clower said, if you have to ask, it's probably not the right thing. If you have to really wonder about it, it's probably wrong. And secondly, he said, if you can get down on your knees at the end of the day and say, God, thank you for letting me say that. God, thank you for letting me do that. God, thank you for letting me be there. If you can do that, you're in the right place. But if you couldn't get down and pray and give God thanks, then you need to question it. I think as we all try to work out who we're supposed to be and what God is calling us to do with our lives, those two principles are really at the heart of this verse 17. If you can do it in the name of the Lord and be thankful for it, wherever God lands you, it'll be all right. Wherever you are, even if it's a wrong turn, it won't last forever if you're faithful. I'll leave you with this. The difference between Isaiah and Joseph is like the difference between I-95 and Highway 301. If you come to Bible study, you've heard this before. One is the straight shot. It goes south all the way down. But the rest of us, we're like those 301 people, those Highway 301s that circles back and forth and loops and zigzags and goes this way and that way. It's going to take you a whole lot longer to get there, but just keep heading south and you're going to get to the same place. Let us pray. Lord, help us to keep heading south, to stay on track. Help us to not worry about the fact we don't know all the details or that we're not 100% sure or that maybe we've made some mistakes and wrong turns, but help us to be faithful in word and in deed and do everything for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to respond to the word of God as we sing, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. Verses 1, 2, and 4. If you're able, would you stand?
Lord, speak.
Would you receive this blessing and remain standing for the response as we pray together? May the God who knows it be the God you trust. May the God who knows where it's all going lead you where He desires. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.